What's going on, Badger Nation? Welcome to the PPC Den Podcast, your home for all things Amazon PPC tips, tricks, and strategies to make your advertising a little bit easier and a little bit more profitable. We've been podcasting now for over 250 episodes. You should go to the spreadsheet in the description here to get an organized, categorized, ranked by intermediate, beginner, advanced, all those good things of every single show. So if you want to learn more about our SEO, podcasts, you can go and go directly to that section. If you want to learn more about the conversion rate optimization we've talked about on the show, you can get that. So it's really organized. We worked really hard to build that for you, and we keep it updated periodically. Now, on today's show, we try to answer the question, if you take the same keyword and you punch it into Helium 10 or Merchant Words or Amazon's Product Opportunity Explorer or Data Dive or Jungle Scout or Ahrefs or AMZ Scout, a bunch of different tools. If you punch the same keyword in there, what does the search volume say? How wide a range are we looking at there when it comes to search volume? And what do you do with that wide range? And then also, if you try to approximate the amount of orders for a particular ASIN, what range do we see there for the variety of tools? And then what do you do with that information? So we take a look at comparing some of the search volume for the same keyword in multiple different tools. And I want to say that I use and subscribe to many, many tools, and I appreciate them all. So this isn't like battle of the tools. This is more so there's a range in these approximations, and what do we do with them? So tune in. I enjoy this one. We've got Clement, who's an AdBadger PPC campaign manager and brand manager, and I think you'll really enjoy this one. Have a good one.
I've launched campaigns and picked keywords. I've got my bits, set placements too. Now bad mistakes, I've made a few.
So Clement, the other day I was comparing the search query performance report, you know, I think my favorite report from Amazon over the last couple of months. And I was comparing that to my search term impression share report from Sponsored Products. And I was just like crying over the differences. I was like, wait a second, why does my Sponsored Product search term report say I got so many sales and so many impressions? And then when I look at the search query performance report, it has said I had such fewer sales. And I'm like looking at my search term report, like seeing the sales, seeing the impressions. And then in the search query report, it was way different. I was like, how come these things are not the same?
Yeah. And that sparked some discussion through our Slack channel. It was interesting. So yeah, we decided to take a deeper look there.
When's the first time you started using keyword research tools? Do you remember?
As soon as I started PPC, I guess. Like, yeah. It's such a massive need for strategizing. You need to have those estimates. Otherwise, you're just shooting in the dark.
Yeah. I remember back in the days, like 10 years ago, doing Google Ads, all of the keyword research tools said the same thing because all of them were using the Google Ads API. So Google would actually release official search volume. So like Google would tell you how many times something was searched, and they still do. it actually tells you this gets searched so many times direct from the source, direct from Google, because Google wanted you to, you know, go after these big keywords, because if you did, you know, they generate more revenue. So they wanted to give their advertisers specific search volume for specific things month by month. You can really dig in really nicely on the Google Ads platform. You know, it's baked into their tool, the Keyword Explorer. And that meant all the third-party tools was using the same data source. Mm-hmm. And on Amazon, it's not the case.
Yeah. You begin to wonder why is the big secrecy, right? Because that would be the same thing, especially for search volume. Now, we're going to touch base on sales, orders numbers as well. So mm-hmm. this makes sense to keep them hidden. But yeah, why not give us volumes?
Yeah. You know, the main pieces of technology that people will use when it comes to doing Amazon advertising, it's like you go into the ad console. They have a whole bunch of different tools there. They're adding new tools. You have tools available primarily for sellers, like the Search Query Performance Report, and you have Product Opportunity Explorer. You have some other tools which will tell you approximate search volumes. But there's no And then you have the selling partner API and the advertising API. And nowhere in those places that we mentioned, which are like the main areas for companies selling on Amazon, is a thing that just tells you what is the search volume for this particular keyword. And why? I don't know. Yeah. Google tells us, but for whatever reason, Amazon doesn't. And it creates this strange environment where you use a certain tool, you know, you use Helium 10, it tells you it gets searched approximately this much. You use another tool, you know, you use Merchant Words, it tells you that it gets searched a different amount. And then Amazon started releasing their own sort of tools mm-hmm. like Search Query Performance or Product Opportunity Explorer, places where you can get some data. And those are different from one Amazon tool to another. So I thought it would be interesting, and, you know, we were talking that let's just hit the record button on this episode and type in the same keyword in a variety of different places and talk about the differences. So before we do, let's actually define a couple of things just in case people are maybe new or haven't thought of these things. So we're going to be using a couple different definitions here. Why don't you take the first one?
Yeah, we're going to talk about impressions. So impressions is pretty standard. It's the number of time an ad or any organic placement is being displayed. That doesn't mean that the viewer has taken any actions, no click needed, nothing. It's just being displayed and potentially the customer saw it.
Yeah. And I think too, this comes up a lot for, you know, an ad impression, like how many impressions did my ad get? Mm-hmm. It's defined differently in different places on Amazon. So in the Search Query Performance Report, I think it's really interesting when you look at the impressions over there, it's how many times all of the ads appeared. So when somebody searches a thing, and 20 ads appear or 20 listings appear, Amazon will count that one search accruing 20 impressions. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was an interesting thing on the Search Query Performance Report, because, you know, when I was looking at my search term impression share versus Search Query Performance Report, those are very different numbers. So as people go and maybe they look at the same term in different places, it's something to pay attention to, something to consider.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
How about the next one?
Yeah, search volumes. That's pretty streamlined. It's the number of time a specific keyword is being searched. It can be, you know, weekly, monthly. That's it.
And of course, the look back window, which is like the time of that whatever metric we're considering. So what is the look back window on the search volume? Mm-hmm. Now, it's really interesting as we get into some of the comparisons, like the Product Opportunity Explorer, for example, inside Amazon, which is a great tool you have episodes on. The Product Opportunity Explorer only gives you a 360-day average. Mm-hmm. They don't tell you month by month. The Search Query Performance Report has different look-back windows you can do by week or by month, and then you can pick that time frame, which is kind of nice. But unfortunately, you can't see it week by week. So show me how many times it was searched this week and then this week. And is it going up? Is it going down? If you want month by month, you sort of have to export this and do some spreadsheet work.
A bit of manipulation, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In order to see that week by week trend. Most of the third-party tools that we looked at I think the average lookback, like the most common lookback window, is monthly. Like how often something was in a month. Sometimes in some of these tools, it wasn't clear if they meant like the last 30 days or the last month. There were some ambiguous stuff in some of the definitions.
Yeah, and that's where some discrepancy may appear. Like definition, it's not very clear. Like you said, sometimes it's last month, sometimes it's last 30 days. Not exactly the same, right? It shouldn't play that big of a role. That shouldn't imply that big of a difference, but in the end, it does.
And another thing that's really unique in the Amazon space to define is this concept of sales estimation. Mm-hmm. You know, how much a product, how many sales a product has. And when we go into the ecosystem of like third-party tools evaluating sales, I think every single tool says exactly the same thing, that like this is an estimation. We are guessing. We are trying to look at a whole bunch of different factors to try to guess what a specific SKU is generating in terms of orders each month. Now, how do you think they come up with these numbers? Like, what do you think they look at?
Yeah, the classic stuff is that they're looking at the BSR of their category. They probably have some benchmark to extrapolate how many sales a certain BSR in a certain category is getting. I think that's how they are doing. Now, we looked at definitions as well, and it's a bit of mumbo jumbo. We're using an algorithm, and I think one was non-data points, which is completely vague, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, third-party tools, they are just giving estimates. That's something we need to remember.
Yeah. And I think too, even though I saw one estimation one time for a tool, it said, we look at the number of reviews a product has and then assume, you know, we back out of it and say, well, if only 4% of people leave reviews, we can take the amount of reviews and, you know, extrapolate the total amount of sales something had and sort of work backwards from there. Now, again, your mileage is going to vary a lot because that can, you know, it could be very wild, you know, the review rate of a certain product, assume that's the same for every product.
Exactly. Or a certain category. And we know that if you're, you know, people that have been displeased by the products, they are more inclined to leave a review. So you would think that a poor product will get more reviews. So are they getting more sales or more reviews because they are bad, right?
It's very tricky. In fact, we saw a tool. It's almost like if you ever watch these like YouTube channels that talk about like investing, or they talk about like health advice or like fitness tips, there's always like a big disclaimer. It's like, this is for entertainment purposes only. Yeah. And it's a kind of a similar thing when it comes to sales estimation, that it's like, you know, don't bet the farm on this number because it's possible that it's, you know, a little inaccurate or perhaps wildly inaccurate. So the other thing I want to say too, as we sort of go into this, because we're going to be comparing different tools that we use on a day-to-day, like we like all these tools. We have multiple memberships or multiple places. So we looked at search volume and order approximations for the Amazon tools. So we looked at like brand analytics and search query performance and product opportunity explorer. We also looked at like Amazon business reports for our known SKUs, which we'll anonymize here. And then we looked at like search volume from like Helium 10, Merchant Words, DataDive/Jungle Scout, Ahrefs, AMZ Scout. So I should say, like, I didn't want this to be like battle of the tool, like who's most accurate or not. It's more like, I like all these tools. I think people should have multiple memberships to multiple things. And I think more so it's just like a research perspective of just sort of like, as an Amazon marketer, there's no perfect one source of truth, because our very first point that we're going to make is Amazon is different from one report to the next in and of itself, even in terms of how many sales you got over a certain time frame for a particular SKU.
That's right, right?
So even before we touch on third-party estimations, I actually want to start with Amazon sort of discrepancies in and of itself. I think it's so fascinating. So why don't you kick us off by talking a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, you know, we have some managed service clients that we do a lot of we manage their brands, their accounts, and I was generating some reports and I found some discrepancies. I dig deeper and I thought it was an error that I did myself.
Right, like picking the wrong date or something.
Yeah, yeah, because it's so easy. Like, yeah, okay, I missed one day and that's it. And it's not. And I check different sources, the same exact metric, like total sales, nothing more basic than that, over the last month. So from the first to the last day of the month, it's different from one business report to the other. So I looked at the sales, the details per ASINs. It gave me a number. On the business report dashboard, it gave me another number. And discrepancies was about 3%. Now, mm-hmm. on large numbers, that's mm-hmm. beginning to account for something.
Yeah, thousands of dollars of difference. And I think it's so interesting because it's like, that seems like such a straightforward number. Like, how many times was a particular SKU sold and what were the amount of sales for that? And if you step back, you can start to realize how the exact same platform could have differences in numbers depending on what report you're looking at. I think the first thing that's worth sort of mentioning is like Amazon talked about this or someone talked about this in a book, like Amazon likes two pizza teams, where it's like the team working on a particular thing is relatively small. So, you know, that has a lot of benefits, you know, really intimate teams working on intimate problems and they know it very deeply. And you can imagine that, and we sort of see this with sponsored products versus sponsored brands versus sponsored display. You know, why don't we have new to brand metrics for mm-hmm. sponsored products? Like that's a cool, like new to brand, some, you know, reporting on how many people have bought from me that haven't bought from me over a certain time frame mm-hmm. who are new to my brand. That's a really cool metric. Like, why can't we get that for sponsored products? Or like, why can't we get that for sponsored display? You start to see like some of these things where the differences, even within campaign types, you can start to see like, oh, maybe the teams working on them are slightly different. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they have like each product, each campaign type has different goals of what they're trying to do and like different features are going into them. So I think a little bit of it is that, and like sometimes these teams might come up with like different conclusions for things. Like, oh, you know, for the longest time, Broadmatch behaved very different in sponsored brands versus sponsored products. It's kind of a strange quirk of marketing in the Amazon ecosystem where the same defined thing behaves slightly different. So when we have like a definition that we sort of think is the same everywhere, you know, amount of sales, you can start to say, well, maybe all these like little micro decisions that different teams are making eventually end up to a 3% difference, like SKU economics versus business reports. Maybe it's as simple as attribution windows. You mm-hmm. know, maybe if somebody clicks on, you know, the 30th of the month, but then they buy like the second of the month, maybe some teams would say, let's put it in the second month. Maybe some other teams would say, put that in the first month. So you end up with maybe some attribution missing factors. And, you know, we see that in sponsored products versus sponsored brand versus sponsored display. Those have different default look back windows. Mm-hmm. You know, things of like maybe some time zone quirks, mm-hmm. Maybe just the way that people process refunds or different kinds of things like that. All these little micro decisions, I think, could lead up to, you know, a 1, 2, 3, 5% difference in a report in and of itself.
Yeah, they add up and we cannot definitely look at just one thing to fix and have the same numbers everywhere. That would be a mathematician dreams, right? To just have the same numbers everywhere. But yeah, you make fair points. It's interesting that you're saying, I never thought about it, that the tools within Amazon evolved differently because different people were working on each small bites of the whole ecosystem. Mm-hmm.
This is my speculation, yeah. But I think we see it sometimes in presentations. If my memory is correct, sometimes you'll see people, oh, I work on sponsored display. And they'll be able to talk about like they're working on sponsored display. And I just wonder, I don't know if we have transparency in like how much sponsored display team talks to a sponsored products team and vice versa.
That's a really good point. Now, you know, in our community, we have some ex-Amazonians and one was working on DSP only. Right. And we had some conversation and I asked him some questions about something outside of DSP and he didn't know because it was completely opaque to him. So yeah, I think you may be onto something there.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think, you know, that's life, I guess, right? Like Amazon marketing is incredibly complex, and it would be, you know, I empathize with that experience, but at the same time, it sort of creates this tension where it's like, the number I'm looking at here is different than over there. You know, the way that one person might be defining a certain metric is different than someone else in another ad product. And it, you know, creates some tension. Like one thing that's still really curious to me is like when I look at my search term reports for sponsored products and sponsored brands, and I add up how many purchases I got for a particular search term, and then I go to the search query performance, those numbers are almost always different.
Yeah.
Sometimes by a lot. I remember when the report first came out, search query performance, I was on a call with a client and we're looking at it. And I was like, oh, we should increase sales for this term. And it said something like 10 purchases from the search query performance report. It's like 10 purchases. And then he's like, wait a second, that's crazy. Like, I know, like, that's one of my top keywords. I definitely have more than 10 orders in a month. Mm-hmm. And then we went and we calculated it, and it was like 80 orders in the search term reports.
Wow.
And then you start to sort of like split hairs, and it's like, okay, well, you can get sort of product page clicks from keyword bidding, like all this, like all these like weird things. And it's like, well, maybe that's why the difference is there. Mm. And it's frustrating.
Yeah. People shopping around, they go back and their browser, and then you're missing the attribution. Yeah, but that's 8 times more or less.
It was pretty significant. I remember, I don't have the specific number, but I just remember it was wildly different to where I was on the phone with the client. He's like, why would I use the search query performance report? Like it's giving me crazy, crazy info.
Do you remember they changed their definition not so long ago? They had that disclaimer there.
Yeah, this was right when it came out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think it's so interesting. And then you talk to other Amazon marketers and business owners. And, you know, I brought this up and some of the responses were like, oh, the search query performance only includes organic. And then someone else says, no, it includes organic and paid. And it's so hard to find that one source of defined truth, even within, you know, just where we haven't even tapped into third-party tools yet.
Yeah. 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 I know.
So even before we get into third-party tools, let's jump into the third-party tools and sort of the things that we looked at. So again, this is not a battle of the tools. This is just more so a battle against finding, navigating all these different numbers. So we looked at, for search volume, we typed in a very generic term. We found a term that we were able to get search query performance data for and product opportunity data for that none of our clients sold. So that's great. And then we punched it into third-party tools. So here we go. So we got tape measure. That was the term that we searched. And then we punched it into Helium 10 Merchant Words, Data Dive, which uses Jungle Scout's data, Ahrefs, and AMZ Scout. And let's start with the biggest number. So the biggest number that we found for word tape measure was in Data Dive using Jungle Scout's data, which was 319,000 searches. So 319,000. Then after that, was Amazon's data. And in the Product Opportunity Explorer, it approximated 190,000. And we got that by taking the 360-day average, dividing it by 12.
Mm-hmm. Now, a little bit on that. It's interesting to even out sometimes those numbers because it doesn't include trends. And we all know that most of the keywords would have a higher search volume during holiday season. Sometimes you have specific trends depending on the niche. But still, I think this 360 days is something that I will use more.
Yeah, because no keyword gets searched the exact same amount every single day, every single month. So I think what's cool about the Product Opportunity Explorer is it gives you a 360-day average, and then it tells you the trend in the last 90 and 180.
Mm-hmm.
And when you looked at that, it appeared to align very nicely with what the search query performance was for April 2023, which was 113,000. So the 190,000 Product Opportunity Explorer said it was in decline, And then that probably aligned pretty nicely with the 113,000 from the search query performance. So right off the bat, even before we go anywhere else, just looking at Data Dive using Jungle Scout versus the search query performance, search query performance was said 113,000 in April 2023, and Data Dive Jungle Scout said 319,000. Moving on from there, Helium 10 said it got searched 76,000 times. Then we got Ahrefs, which said it got searched 63,000 times. Merchant Word said it got searched 25,000 times. And AMZ Scout said 7,000 times. So huge range from 319,000 to 7,000 and everything in between.
Yeah.
With Amazon coming in at 113,000. So what does this mean? How should we, as trying to grow companies on Amazon, interpret the spread here from 319,000 all the way to 7,000?
Yeah, that's the $1,000 question, right? So I think that's why I mentioned that I liked the 360-day average, because it removed kind of the seasonality that you could get and any crazy data points that might be completely off. You know, scientists, they like to have a medium as well. And I think that's giving it, that to us. I'm going to reiterate, third-party tools, they are giving estimates. Now, you're right, the estimates are completely off. Now, I like to use the tools. I like to look at trends whenever I'm looking at a tool. I'm going to jump into that measure tape. Often, you're not just looking at one keyword. You're looking at volumes from different keywords. And if tape measure is being searched X and the next keyword is being searched 2X, then the proportion should stay the same within the same tool. That's how I see it. That's how you can try to mitigate those discrepancies.
I couldn't agree more. I love that. And that's something that's very true. You know, if you see one keyword gets searched 50,000 times in a month and another keyword gets searched 100,000 times in a month, the specific number doesn't matter so much. It's more so you can kind of trust that, you know, the one that says 100,000 probably gets searched more times than the one that says 50,000. So using it for trends, and then you can sort of use that to build up, you know, these are keywords that get searched a lot. These are keywords get searched less than that. And I think that's a good way to sort of think about that relative numbers. Mm-hmm. Because specifically from a day-to-day basis, when we use keyword research tools, one of the primary ways that we use it is to generate new keyword ideas. So like, let me go find new ground to conquer. And when I interact with these keyword research tools, I'm not saying, oh, I don't even want to advertise this keyword because the search volume is blank. I sort of just use it as an idea generation, like ideation to like, what are some stems of this word that I haven't thought of? Like, what are some related synonyms to this word that I haven't thought of? And you can use that as a way to sort of like pump in new ideas, fresh ideas into your account. Also, when I do keyword research and look for new positive keywords and ASIN targets, I'm looking at my search term report. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm getting like real tested data from my search term report. It's like, oh, this is a term that I found in an auto campaign that I didn't even think of. I'm going to advertise on that. I'm going to graduate that to a broad phrase at exact. I'm going to take that term and I'm going to punch it into my favorite keyword research tool or punch it into several different keyword research tools and see what pops out. I've also like taken it and popped it into like a Google research tool. Like, is the Google research tool giving me anything different? So that process started with a search term report. Like, I'm starting with like actual data from my account, and then I'm using that to ideate. If I didn't start with a search term report, I would just like bounce around to a couple of different tools and just try to get as large a berth as possible. I will say that keyword research is slightly different in the whole, I'm launching a new product in a new space that I don't have access to a search term report for. So I think one of the most effective things that when I talk to the most successful companies that we work with, a lot of them are using their search term report and they're using keyword research as a way to generate new product ideas in the same space. You know, they're looking at, oh, this gets searched a lot. You know, a certain size of coffee mug gets searched a lot that I don't make. I'm going to start making that coffee mug. Or they'll look at reviews from Product Opportunity Explorer, you know, the review summary. And they'll use that as ideation. Oh, the, you know,
the thing break or
the mug didn't feel even something like that.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead and use that as ideation for new products. It's tricky when you're stepping into a niche and you have no possibility of looking at the product opportunity explorer or your search term report. So when you're using keyword research tools as a way to approximate market opportunity, you might switch over to looking at ASIN orders per ASIN approximations. Because then you'll say, okay, if this product gets 10,000 sales a month, then maybe if I step into this niche, I'll get 1,000 sales a month as a newcomer here. So let's switch over to the second part of this conversation, which is ASIN approximations, sales approximations.
Orders approximation, yes.
Orders approximation, yes.
Yeah.
So the other thing that a lot of these tools can give us is like the amount of orders approximation.
Yeah.
And for this, it was pretty interesting. So we punched in an ASIN where we can look at the Amazon Business Report for. And granted, don't forget, depending on what tool you're using inside the business report, inside Amazon, you'll get different numbers. Like the business report is different than the sales dashboard. So when you do this, for this particular ASIN, the actual amount of sales from the business report was 5,063. Helium 10 reported 5,403. AMZ Scout reported 2,956. Helium 10, we already said that. And then Merchant Words reported 357.
Yeah, for a 30-day window.
Over 30-day window. Mm-hmm. Data Dive Jungle Scout said 4,900, so 4,000. So again, an incredibly wide range. I will say that Helium 10 looked pretty accurate. Data Dive Jungle Scout, pretty accurate. AMZ Scout off by about 20%. And then Merchant Words had less than a tenth of the order approximation.
I have the feeling that they are closer to the actual numbers than the search volumes, right? Search volume, they seemed all over the place or varied widely, where here they are in the same ballpark. Or is it just a wrong feeling I'm getting?
I would say in terms of the amount of hits that were correct, sales, ASIN approximation, orders approximation seems to be more reliable and more steady for some of the tools that we looked at.
Yeah. Maybe because they don't use algorithms so much, or they are less data sources, and they are all getting their data from the same source, which is probably bestseller rank approximation, and using something like that.
You're right. Almost in some ways, there's less to approximate because you can look at BSR directly on the page and sort of try to work backwards from that.
Yeah, that's something Amazon actually gives you.
So in terms of these conclusions, it's very tricky to have exact approximations. I would say the way to navigate all these different numbers is to sort of use relative judgment, meaning I judge keyword A to be more than keyword B. And if I were to sum up all these keywords, I know that this sum over here is probably bigger than this other sum of keyword volume over here. So that's one way to navigate it. So when we're doing keyword research and you want to find like juicy keywords that are potentially high sales opportunity, I don't think you need to change any of your, behavior. Because I think that, whatever tool you're using, the biggest numbers are probably going to be the biggest sales opportunity, and the smallest ones are going to be the smallest opportunity. It's not a hyper precise science because all of these are approximations.
Yeah. And, as a business owner or as a PPCer, you're going to get a feel for the market at some point. Now, that's also why we don't have so many clients per managers, is because you really need to understand the market perfectly. And at the beginning, when we're onboarding a client, I really like to rely on their knowledge of the market, because they give you so many nuggets like, oh yeah, I know this tool is, whenever I rank on first page for this one, I'm getting so many sales and stuff like that. And it's a bit like you're putting your finger in the air, but that's still often more reliable than all the tools you can combine. And in the end, it muddies the water more than give you clarity, right?
Mm-hmm. And what's coming up for me now, I've talked to a lot of people, and I think one thing that comes up to me every once in a while is a business owner who's incredibly frustrated and very pained because they used some of these approximations as if it were true, as if it were like absolute truth. Mm-hmm. And then they did napkin math. Mm-hmm. You know, the kind of math, like, you know, every once in a while you'll meet someone who like wants to start a company and it's like, I'm going to launch Uber for dogs or something like that. And they're like, how many dogs in the world? There's like 3 billion dogs in the world. I just need 1% of the dogs in the world to sign up with the service and I'm going to be like a bajillionaire. Mm-hmm. And like that kind of math is really
inaccurate.
Yeah. It can lead to so much frustration if you start a business based off that.
Yeah.
So when we do these approximations and say, wow, you know, tape measure and these related terms get searched a million times a month. If I can just get 1% of them to buy from me, I'm going to have, you know, so many sales a month. And then they build an entire business around that. And then they get a lot of frustration where they look at, okay, tape measure was supposed to get searched 300,000 times a month. This product has approximately 5,000 sales a month. I should be able to get at least 500 sales a month for that keyword. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, those kinds of conversations where they look at these estimations and they say, I should be there. But there's so many other factors that are perhaps even more influential than approximating what competitor A sales are. Like how good is your product market fit? How well can you convert when somebody lands on your page? How eye-catching is your product? Like how desirable is it? Like how big of a brand are you building? And if somebody only builds a company based off search volume, it's likely that some of those things are a little out of whack. Mm-hmm. You know, like the most successful companies are the ones that, you know, sort of have like a true passion for this stuff and like really listening to the market and like really studying and like, what do people actually want to buy here? Not so much like playing money ball of just like, I'm going to create the perfect keyword blend. And like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Like you ideally need both. Like the most successful companies are doing both. Like they have the perfect keyword blend and they've done a lot of that like qualitative market feel.
You still need to do some market research before launching any products, but I think that's probably another conversation, but you need to build your brand around something, not just, you know, launching a tape measure alongside a running shoes. Like that wouldn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So yes, use these use all the tools and like, yes, get approximations and like, yes, build up keyword lists from those approximations and then just know that they're approximations and that they're going to be different depending on a different tool that you use. It does seem like for the most part, if you're using a variety of tools, you know, I think if you're using at least two tools to approximate ASIN orders and sales of a particular SKU, it seems like you could be pretty confident in that number. Mm-hmm. So if you were just using one tool to approximate orders on a SKU, you might be missing because, you know, we found Merchant Words approximated 350. Whereas, you know, Helium 10 approximated 5,400 and the 5,400 was a bit more accurate. Mm-hmm. So it seems like if you use two tools, at least you'll be square on. And then if you want search volume approximations, do you think that's practical to sort of have multiple memberships to keyword research tools and sort of get a wider view? Or
I think that could be expensive for business owners.
My bill's getting big. Yeah, the bill's getting big.
Yeah, I think we should remove some. But, you know, that can fire up another conversation where on fully automated PPCs or decision making based on wrong data. Like, I don't think we are there yet. I don't think we're going to see that ourselves. Or maybe we will. All the new thing, but yeah, fully automation where you never put you put that on autopilot and you get the API from Helium 10 saying, okay, search volume are there, orders are that, let's do X based on that.
Mm-hmm. You could see how far off the rails it could possibly go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me ask you this, you know, over the next few weeks, you'll be looking at keywords and doing keyword research and looking at search volumes. How will this change anything for you?
I'm probably going to use more tools because we have the subscriptions. I'm gonna forecast ranges rather than exact numbers. Mm-hmm. Not that I was doing that, but I'm gonna have that more open, and then I'm gonna refine with actual data that we get from first party, which is Amazon, even though it's off sometimes depending on the reports you're pulling. But yeah, I'll be doing that from now on.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I did an episode with Elizabeth Green where we basically did an exercise where we took a whole bunch of keywords, we put it into a keyword research tool, and we summed up the searches. And like all these 100 keywords, each one gets searched X amount of times. And then we summed it all up and we said, and we basically did this really loose thing, which says like, okay, if we have like, what's our average click-through rate on Amazon? It's like 0.3. So if we take all these terms and we get a 0.3% click-through rate, we should end up with so many clicks. And I think what's interesting now is like, you're absolutely right. Like that first step, when you sum up the search volume, you should add like, well, if this is over approximating, it'll, you know, we'll have this many clicks with our current click-through rate. And if it's under approximating, we'll have this amount of clicks with our current click-through rate. And then you can sort of take your average conversion rate. And again, if it's over approximating, under approximating, you know, we could expect this many sales. So I think providing a range seems really like a smart thing to do. And I think when we do that range, if it's over approximating or under approximating, it needs to be wide. Like it needs to be pretty big. And depending on like how much intimacy you have with the particular niche, you can maybe shrink that range because you have access to the first party data. You know exactly how many orders you get for a lot of these keywords, and you can sort of work backwards from there. So it's tricky.
It is. Yeah. You need intuition, and intuition comes with experience, right?
Yeah. So this is an interesting topic, and I don't know if we solved anything other than maybe added some confusion for people of like,
that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
what do I do now? And I think it's really just take everything with a grain of salt. That's really what it is. And use those relative numbers, use the search query performance report. If you're a vendor and don't have access to the search query performance report, it does look like
open a seller account in parallel.
Open a seller account and like put one ASIN into a seller account.
Yeah.
That is the way to do it. That is honestly, because you get access to data that is first party that we would believe is the most accurate. So we would believe that the sales volume, that the search volume from the Product Opportunity Explorer is the most accurate, from the search query performance report is the most accurate.
Yeah. I'd say one thing, if your forecast is off, don't freak out. You know the reason. It's not you. It's just approximations.
Yeah. And with that, let's leave it there. Come on.
Thanks, Mike.
Alrighty, everyone else, I'll see you next week here on the PPC Den Podcast.